Thank you. no longer walk in faith and begin to scheme how to get God's will done, it always turns out bad. Here's her scheme. Sarah had a slave girl named Hagar, and she went to Abraham and said, I'm going to give you my servant girl Hagar, and I want you to sleep with her and get her pregnant, and we'll take her son, and her son will be our son. Now, how many of you know that's something you see on a soap opera, right? I mean, just crazy stuff. And Abraham did it. Here's what you got to know about Hagar. Hagar was a servant girl. When Abraham called Hagar into his tent that night, she did not have the power to say no. She was a servant girl. Abraham and Sarah owned Hagar. Hagar could not have gone to Abraham and said, Abraham, I think this is a bad idea. I don't want to come to your tent tonight. Hagar didn't have the power to do that. Hagar was a victim. Hagar had to go in Abraham's tent. She did not have the power in that culture in that time to say no. And she got pregnant, no choice of her own. She has a son. And now that Abraham and Sarah have had their own son, she's being blamed. She's being accused by Sarah saying, get rid of him and make them leave. And I want you to know that wasn't right. Hagar was a complete victim. Some of you in this room understand exactly what I'm talking about because you've been a victim in your life. Maybe not the same kind of circumstance, maybe you have, but you've been a victim of a crime, or you've been a victim of abuse, or you've been a victim that someone had a power advantage over you and they took advantage of you, maybe even your workplace. Look what happened in verse 11. This upset Abraham very much because Ishmael was his son. But God told Abraham, do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you, for Isaac's the son through whom your descendants will be counted, but I also will make a great nation of the descendants of Hagar's son, because he's your son too. Now I want to stop there. Was it God's will for Sarah to give Hagar to Abraham and them have a child? No, that was not God's plan. So Ishmael was born outside of the will of God. Did you get that? But you know what? God still had a purpose and a plan for Ishmael's life. And I want you to know what family you were born in, or the conditions of your conception, or maybe you're born in a poor family, or maybe like Dylan, you were born in a family where you experienced no love at all. I want you to know God has a purpose and a plan for every person in this room, and your parents don't decide your purpose. Your lineage does not decide your purpose. How much wealth you came from does not decide. Your purpose is decided by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and a sovereign God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Verse 14, so Abraham got up early the next morning, prepared food and a container of water. And again, they lived in the desert. I lived in this part of the world for 9 years. For a single mom and her son, who was probably around 13 years old, to be released in the desert, they were released to their death. There were no rest stops. They weren't driving a car. There was no convenience stores. There was no social network. There was no social security. There was no welfare. When Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael out on their own, he was sending them to die. Look at this. He strapped them on Hagar's shoulders and sent her away with their son, and they wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. Two of the most saddest words you can have about wandering aimlessly in the wilderness. Some of you are wandering aimlessly. Some of you are feeling like you're in the wilderness. But watch what God does. When the water was gone, again, they're living in the desert, extremely hot. The water's gone. She put the boy in the shade of a bush. She went and sat down by herself about 100 yards away, a football field away. Look at this. She goes, I don't want to watch the boy die. She said as she burst into tears. What a contrast between the two ladies. Sarah was laughing. Hagar was crying. You know what? Represents us here today, doesn't it? Some of you are laughing. Some of you are crying. No, I love the church. I love this church. Many of you know I grew up here. My parents are here this morning. I've been coming to this church as long as I can remember. And I love the church. And I love this church. So one of the reasons is because all different kinds of people are here today. Maybe have different ethnic backgrounds. Some come from wealthy, some from poor. Some of us are well-educated, some of us aren't. Some of us live in a big house, some of us don't. But in the church, we're all equal. The Bible says we rejoice with those who rejoice. And if you're a Sarah this morning, don't feel guilty if you had a good year and you're looking forward to Christmas. Be grateful for the blessings of God on your life. And we as a church, we're going to rejoice with you. We should never feel but guilty about the blessings of God in our life, amen? If God's blessed you this year, be grateful for that. Be grateful for, we just came through Thanksgiving, be grateful for the blessings. But the Bible also says we're to mourn with what? Those who mourn. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice. And those who are Hagars here today, we want you to know, we love you. If you're going through grief or pain or rejection or betrayal, if you're not looking forward to the holidays, you're not alone. Yes, Jesus is with you, but we want you to know, as your pastor, I want you to know, we're with you. You're not alone. I was so proud of our church when we heard about Turl's son being killed. He came to prayer meeting Monday night. Think about it. He just lost his son, but him, and he came to prayer meeting Monday night, and I was sitting here, and as soon as he walked in these doors, we have a great group who comes on Monday night prayer. They circled Turl and began to hug him and pray for him and weep with him. He's crying, and he brought his girlfriend, and she was crying. And I'm looking back as a pastor, and I was so proud of our church. Because we're mourning with someone who mourns. I don't know if there's a worse pain than losing a child. I can't imagine. I mean, it's one thing to lose, you know, a grandparent, but to lose a 17-year-old son in the circumstances that he lost him, I cannot imagine the pain that he's going through. But he wasn't going through it alone. Now, Turl did something really, really right. You know what he did? He showed up. He didn't blame God for his son's death. He didn't leave the church. He showed up. And when he showed up, he got comforted. And then my wife and I were talking, hey, Wednesday, we need to go to the funeral. And so Wednesday, we went to the funeral. We didn't really say much to anybody else. But there are other people at church who on their own were there Wednesday at the funeral, hugging a turtle's neck, telling him that we're loving. See, for those of you who are Sarahs, we rejoice with you. We're glad you had a great year. Be grateful for the blessings of God. Don't you have a moment of guilt on that. We should never feel guilty when God blesses us. Amen? But for those Hagars in the room, it's been a hard year. You're not laughing, you've been crying. More tears have been shed in 2025 than laughter. We want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone. Now look at verse 17. Look at this. I love this phrase, but God. If you're a Hagar and you had a rough year, or you've been a victim of abuse or power, look, but God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven. Hagar, what's wrong? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Go to him and comfort him, for I will make a great nation from his descendants. Then look at this. I love this. Then God opened Hagar's eyes, and she saw a well full of water. I think it was a miracle. I think God created a miracle and provided that well and opened Hagar's eyes where she could see it. She quickly filled her water container and gave the boy a drink. Verse 20. And God was with the boy. She grew up in the wilderness. He became a skillful archer. He settled in the wilderness of Paran. His mother arranged for him to marry a woman from the land of Egypt. I know, love the phrase we read in verse 17, but God heard the boy's cries. Remember, we talked about three things. Number one, God fulfills his promise. Number two, God wants you to experience joy. Number three, God hears your cries. Have you ever been in so much pain in your life that words can express it, only tears can? Do you know your tears have a language? And God knows that language. You say, how could God know that language? Well, whenever I think about Christmas, I think about Easter. And The Bible says when Jesus was put on that cross, even though he committed no crime and committed to no sin, the Bible says the sun went black. God mourned when he saw Jesus on the cross to the point he didn't want to see it anymore, so he blocked out the sun and the earth became darkness. God knows what it's like to lose a child. God knows what it's like to grieve. God knows what it's like to cry. And I want you to know, God hears your tears. God hears your cries. I don't care how deep of pain you may be experiencing today. I don't care how dark your night may be. I listen to me. God is a God who hears our cries. And I love this. When God heard Hagar, he heard her cries. He opened her eyes. Here's what happens. When you cry out to God in your pain, he'll open your eyes so you can see the way out. When you cry out to God in pain, he hears with his ears and he opens your eyes. And it's the moment that Hagar cried out to God, the moment that God saw little Ishmael, think about it, he was dying from thirst. Can you imagine he's laying under the shade of a bush, dying of thirst, crying out to God, and God heard his cries, and God opened Hagar's eyes. And I want you to know, if you'll cry out to God in your pain, if you will not give up on him, he will not give up on you, and he will open your eyes to truth. He'll open your eyes to your miracle. He'll open your eyes to your provision. He'll open your eyes to your answers of prayer. Don't ever give up on God, because God will never give up on you. So three things. God fulfills his promise. His delays are not denials. Can I ask you a question? Have you given up on a certain dream? Have you given up on some prayers? If you're saying it's been a long time, it'll never happen to me. God's delays are not denials. Don't give up. God, because God has not given up on you. Number two, God wants you to experience joy in your life. You may be going through anxiety, depression, fear, worry. This last year, I've testified to you, there was a time in my life in Egypt where I went through a spiritual darkness that was so dark. Literally had a visual experience. It's in my bedroom in Egypt. It's going through a difficult time. I told you before, my wife at nighttime, she wants no light in the room. I mean, if we go to a hotel and there's one of those fire things, you know, smoke alarms, a little red light, she's going to put something over that little red light, because if she can see that little red light, she'll stare at it all night long. We sleep in total darkness. Now, at my age, when you got to get up 20 times and go to the bathroom, that's not all that great. Sometimes you have a hard time finding the bathroom. But anyway, you manage, right? So one night we were in Cairo. I'm telling you, our room was dark. But visibly, a darkness came over me that made, I mean, it was just dark. And I went through a several-month period of my life. I felt like I walked in a dark cloud. I was heavy. I tried to get out of it. I did all I knew to do. Listen, I have compassion. If you're going through depression or have gone through anxiety or worry or fear, I don't judge you, because I've walked through it myself. When you have people say, well, just get up and do better, I tried to get up and do better. Getting up and do better did not work for me. But there came a time, we sung a song about freedom, when God touched me and the darkness lifted. I want you to know, God wants you to experience joy. And God wants the darkness in your life to lift off of you. So number one, God keeps his promises. His delays are not denial. Number two, God wants you to experience joy. The Bible says he's the glory and the lifter of your head. And number three, God hears your cries. God sees your pain. Your tears have a language to it. God knows the language of pain and grief and fear. Amen.